Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. Looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me this week is my always entertaining co-host, Ryan.
Hello.
And also this week, we have a special, no longer mystery guest, Paul Swickard. Yay!
Greetings. Greetings. It is good to be here.
Oh, we're so excited to have you.
It's awesome. I love you guys. You guys are amazing.
Aw, thanks. So, yeah, you guys know him as P. Swickard on Twitter, or he's also Swick in the Tadpool. So, Swick, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Swick says amazing comments here. Oh, my bad. No. Where do I start? I guess most of you guys know me from the Frog Pants stuff. So, yeah, I started doing, like, articles and stuff for that Scott Johnson's App Slappy show. So that's probably how most people know me. I guess at least that's how I'm guessing. I also do a different podcast for Dave Nelson called Time Traveling Robots in Space.
Which I listened to today and is a lot of fun.
You like that?
I did, yeah.
I'm glad. It was one of those random things. I didn't know Dave at all. And he just kind of put an APB, you know, I forget how many weeks ago, but like saying, hey, anybody want to do this? I said, sure. So, yeah, we kind of got on that. And that is where we are headed. Nice. Is time travel and robots in space.
Yeah, well, Ryan and I didn't know each other before we started the podcast. It was basically just we started talking about Skyrim and we were like, we like games. We like talking about games. Let's do a podcast.
That's usually how great ones start. It really is. I love that kind of thing. It's great. And, you know, like being connected with all of that, the Frog Pants community, I just find that to be amazing. I think that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. The community is great. Everyone's been so supportive of us and our little venture. So.
Me too.
All right. So we're going to talk about upcoming anticipated releases of 2012. So some of the big gaming sites, IGN and Kotaku and stuff, have released their list of what they're anticipating for 2012. I read through them. I'm pretty much excited, like really, really excited about Mass Effect 3 and Bioshock Infinite. But other than that, not so much. So I'm going to kind of pass it off to you guys because I think I'm just pretty much going to be MMOing it all year because now I have WoW that I got over Christmas and I'm going to be starting Star Wars soon. So
Whoa. You are starting two MMOs at once, having not played an MMO?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I prefer to think of it as hardcore. Crazy hardcore.
Okay. Yeah, that's sweet. You should tell us how that goes.
Well, I'll be surprised if we hear from her again, to be honest.
Seriously.
Wow.
So, Ryan, do you have a few games here that you're pretty excited about?
A few. I mean, I looked at that list, and I'm just like, bank account, minus, 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 minus. And that's just like really what we know, because most of that list is based on what's coming out in the first half of the year with a couple titles in the fall. But once E3 hits, like, they're going to add to that list as to what, like, we don't even have a final release date for Halo 4, Diablo 3, Heart of the Swarm, The Last of Us. Those are all games I'm excited about, but we really don't know when they're coming out. We know it's sometime in 2012, but probably in the fall, winter area. But coming up more soon, like, I am playing Star Wars, but I've never let an MMO get in the way of the games I want to play. I'll usually set it aside or do both at the same times, but the first one, Kingdoms of Amalur. It's like the MMO it's a single player game that, what's that guy's name? The guy who was on the instance, the baseball dude.
Yeah, it's Curt Schilling.
Yeah, that is it. It's the game he's making with a certain company, and it looks to be like Fable kind of, but more mature, like, you know, fantasy, RPG.
Is this the no fart joke game?
Yes. Yes. It looks neat. I haven't really seen a lot about it, but it's definitely something I'm going to check out probably day one. And I think that comes out in February. And like you, Mass Effect 3. But then I have some 3DS games, Kid Icarus and Luigi's Mansion, that look pretty neat.
You have a 3DS?
Yes.
Sweet, good.
one of the few people.
Yeah, you're the first person that I know. So sweet, rock on.
Yeah, it's an interesting system. I mean, I'm sure if I had told you that in June that I had one, you'd be laughing at me. But now it's like, oh, there's actually good games for it. But Luigi's Mansion 2, I love the first one on the GameCube. It was really underrated, but I'm looking forward to the sequel. And also Darksiders 2. That one, the first one was a surprise. It's kind of like a dark Zelda, which you need to play that, Jocelyn. The first one.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I did hear about that one because it sounded familiar, but yeah. Okay, so that's the dark Zelda that I need to play. All right, I'll put that on my list.
And there's no waggle. You can just get it on Steam, play with your 360 controller, and be happy. Like a grown-up gamer.
So this Luigi's Mansion 2 is a sequel to, like, the original Luigi's Mansion. There isn't, like, a Luigi's Mansion 1 on the 3DS, right?
No. It's a sequel to I guess it's a sequel to the one that was on the GameCube.
Right. I did enjoy the one on the GameCube.
It was different. It was a lot of fun. I think a lot of people kind of shooed it away because it wasn't a Mario title, right?
But no, the Luigi title.
I like Luigi. I like the underdog. Come on. When he'd whistle as he's going through the hallway, and he'd be like, Mario! He's so scared. Right. It's adorable. Anyways, moving on.
Yeah, so what about you, Swick? What are you looking forward to?
Oh, geez. My bank account's not going to be happy with me. No, Mass Effect 3 is amazing, and it deserves a lot of attention. Most people are already paying attention to it, but yeah, I can't wait for that one. Kingdoms of Amalur, already mentioned that. I saw that one at E3 last year, and that is definitely something worth looking at. Some of the new stuff that hadn't been mentioned yet, Guild Wars 2, I am very excited about that. It's basically not to add to your MMO list, Jocelyn, but
what?
Yeah,
I don't need a life.
But yeah, Guild Wars, like, I played the first Guild Wars, and I had a lot of fun with it. So definitely looking forward to the sequel. Another big one for me is the second Borderlands. That game got, at least for me, got a lot more longevity than I was expecting it to. Like, people have been playing that for hundreds of hours. It's kind of nuts. Like, for a first-person shooter nowadays, that's not like, you know, Counter-Strike or something like that, or Modern Warfare, that I think that's pretty cool.
Is it, I didn't play it, so you said it's first-person shooter. Is it there a multiplayer part of it? Like,
right.
Is that what keeps people playing for hundreds of hours, or is there hundreds of hours of story?
No, there's not hundreds of hours of story. It's all co-op based. It's not like a persistent world or anything, but it is, you have a group of four people that you can roll with. And basically the game allows for multiple playthroughs. So after you complete it once, you can go back and play through it again, and it actually counts how many times you've been playing through it, and the game gets gradually harder to compensate for it, and as a result gives you better loot. Like, that's a big reason why people keep on playing it. It's they have the loot lust.
Well, who doesn't?
But yeah, I'm looking forward to all that stuff. Torchlight 2, another big one. I was a big fan of the first. Basically,
I just got the first one on Steam in the holiday sales.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's one of a whole lot that I got right at Christmas. So you guys are really never going to hear from me again after tonight.
I was really hoping the second one was going to come out at the end of 2011. I was really hoping that would
Everybody
be a game
was.
I'd get to play. Yeah, exactly. Over the Christmas break, because the first one I played a little bit and thought it was really cool, but never really got too far. And it's one of those games that I have tried to start up multiple times, and I figured, well, you know, but at this point, might as well just wait for the sequel. And they're going to have multiplayer in the sequel as well, correct?
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, that's the big selling point. And for sure, that is going to be a game that you're going to want to play with friends.
Good.
Sweet.
Indeed.
So, shall we move on to what we're playing?
We should do that.
Yes.
We should totally do that.
What have we been playing?
Well, it's not what Jocelyn's been playing, but it is what you guys have been playing, and it is Star Wars The Old Republic, which Jocelyn is very excited about, but hasn't actually picked up yet. So I'm going to play interviewer for right now, and yeah, we'll start off, I guess, with why don't you guys tell me how far into the game you are?
All right. Well, this is one of those MMOs are tough, right? I'm at level 23, and like you get your speeder at 25, and I'm so close. I see that Paul has his speeder.
I do.
I'm shaking my fist at the monitor because he's 90% faster than I am, and I'm not happy about it.
Really, 90%?
Oh yeah, mounts make you go fast.
Yeah,
I don't know these things.
Yeah,
I'm not always 90% faster. Just saying.
Oh, not always.
It's all not always. No.
Just when you're on your speeder.
Just when I have my cool speeder out. Yes.
Okay. I'm close. I was literally just playing before Jocelyn said, "Hey, are we gonna let's record?" Blah blah blah. And I was so close. I'm like, "Oh, I'm almost level 24," and then it's like one more level, and I have my speeder. I'm playing Empire. I actually. When I started the game, I was preloaded into a server through a guild that I'm doing with a couple old roommates, and I'm playing a Sith Inquisitor, which is basically like Darth Sidious guy, like uses the lightning, and I'm playing a Darth Maul type character. I don't know the actual name of the race, but I'm the red dude from Episode 1. that guy. And... yeah. So, Paul, what character are you playing?
I've touched on a couple things. In the beta, I was an Imperial agent, which is kind of like your spy type character for the Empire. Mm. And I was digging that quite a bit. It's like, I guess, kind of a comparable side would be like maybe a rogue for WoW.
Okay.
That kind of thing. Another thing that I was looking at and what I've been playing the most is a Sith Inquisitor, but I'm on the assassin side, which basically like is almost literally like Darth Maul. Like he's not so much lightning as he is like lightsaber.
Oh, okay. So I'm a healer. Like when I was base, I'm always the slowest when it comes to an MMO. So after not playing for like a week, I come online and all my roommates are like level 30, a couple have hit like level 50, and I'm just like, yeah. You know, what do we need? And always the last thing is a healer, right? And I've never played a healer, so I'm like, fine, I'll give it a shot. So I don't know, I think it's Sith Inquisitor,
yeah.
Sorcerer, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm a healer, and I've healed a few flashpoints, and it's exactly how I remember WoW being, but then again, I've never really gotten to the end game as a healer. So it'll be interesting to see how that all pans out.
That's really cool. Yeah, so I was conflicted, and maybe you had a similar experience. So I did the Imperial Agent in the beta, and I was rolling around with all these guys that had lightsabers, and I wanted a lightsaber. So I had to play a Sith Inquisitor. It was either that or a Sith Warrior, right? So right. I needed a lightsaber. Is that so wrong? It's hard to it kind of brings up a weird question. It's like, how do these agents and, you know, stormtroopers like even compare? Like they're not I'm sure the game is perfectly balanced. It's just like, you know, in terms of the cool factor, how does that shake out for most people?
How can you even play Star Wars and not be a character with a lightsaber?
I don't know. The closest one I can think of is like being a bounty hunter, like, you know, being Boba Fett. I could see that being cool. But it that's like, seriously, a stormtrooper? Really?
Yeah. So both
the bounty
of you
hunter's
guys...
a lot. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, it's okay. Go ahead.
I was just going to say the bounty hunter I played in the beta is a lot of fun. And I think it's the one character that I did play without. It's the first one I was gravitated to in the beta. I'm like, ooh, and I almost committed nerd suicide when I said almost said Jango Fett, when really you're supposed to say Boba. I've been watching the prequels like 1 through 6. Anyways, I haven't got to the good ones yet. But yeah, the bounty hunter, he's really cool. And even though you don't get to use a lightsaber and you are trouncing around the world with people who have lightsabers, you have a rocket that comes out of your wrist, and that's pretty neat. And like the Bounty Hunter had some a much more interesting story than I found over the Inquisitor, and I've only gotten to like level 10 with the Bounty Hunter, but I found the first 10 levels of the Bounty Hunter had a much more interesting story than the Inquisitor. And the story is huge in this game. Like the class quests have, I think have the best story and the best voice acting to back that up.
Before you get onto that, I just want to ask you guys a really quick question. So you guys are both on the Empire side. Were either one of you considering being on the Jedi good, happy side, or were you just like, I want to be evil? Discuss.
No.
I
was Alliance in WoW. I felt like I played that side. I wanted to, and okay, and I, not to get on too big of a tangent here, but the Horde and the Alliance aren't really, like, the Horde's not really evil. They're kind of like on the other side of good. Like in this one, you're like, these Sith really are evil. Like they will easily kill whoever gets in their way without much hesitation about it. So yeah, I guess I just wanted to explore that side of like the game and not myself.
Thinking the same kind of thing. I almost always in every game that I play tend towards the side of good. I make the good decisions. I feel bad if I do something bad. And then, so when Star Wars came out, I'm like, you know what? I just want to be bad. I just want to kill people because I want to be powerful. So you know what? I'm really leaning towards Sith.
It's funny. Like, I'm playing with my old roommates, so they know me really well when it comes to video games. And one of the things they always bugged me about was that I could never be evil in a video game. Like, I could never do it. Like, I'd always be like, oh, I'm going to be a bad guy. And then I get to this quest where you have to do something bad. I was like, this guy was all right. I'll cut him some slack and do some good. So in this game, I'm like, guys, I'm going totally evil. And I have the dark points to back it up. I'm like level 2 dark. And
is that good? Or
yes,
I guess bad?
That's very good. Level 2 dark is good, especially if you want to be a bad guy. But I'm like killing people left and right. You know, like I don't have to kill this person, but I still do. And the best part about it is it's not Fallout or Skyrim. So when I kill somebody, I don't need to worry about that really having an effect on, you know what I mean? Like in Fallout,
there's nobody running around to arrest you or anything.
Well, not that. Like in Fallout, I could kill a quest giver and then completely crash the game, right? Whereas in this, it's an MMO. Everything's calculated. Like I know that if I kill this person, well, I don't know for a fact, but I have a strong feeling that it's not going to have many repercussions in the future. So I can just be evil for the sake of being evil. But I do want to try the Jedi, or not the Jedi, but the Alliance. I think, and I don't think that will ever be my main. Maybe just like a quick 10 levels, let's try a Jedi weekend kind of thing.
Let's be good just for a couple hours.
I need to. My soul aches to be good.
All right, so class quest. Sorry, I didn't mean to take us on so much of a tangent, but
it's all good.
So, what is your favorite quest and thing to do in Star Wars so far?
Well, considering I jumped the gun on this, Paul, why don't you start off? I'm being punished.
You go sit in your corner.
Yeah. I'll go as far as the headphones will take me.
Okay, so what's kind of new in this particular MMO is that you have a distinction between normal quests and normal quests and class quests. And the class quests are basically the story-driven part of it where you are trying to, you know, further along your character so you can see what happens next. And that is definitely the coolest part that I've encountered. So you can have, really pivotal moments. Like, you know, if you're a Sith, you know, not to be too much of a spoiler here, but guess what? You're at some point you're going to want to, you know, prove your power to your master. Let's just say.
Fair enough.
I find that the class quests are really where it's at. Like that they offer a lot, at least for me. It's a good veil for kind of what's more of the same in MMOs, like, you know, like just the fetch quests, the kill quests, all that kind of thing. It kind of gives it a little bit more weight.
So the class stuff, the class quests, that's kind of hard to say.
Yeah, it is.
That's what gives it the story, right? So that keeps your advancing your story along, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's, from what I understand from all the rumors and stuff, really the biggest difference between Star Wars and WoW, right?
Yeah, there's no, like, they try to have a linear plot in WoW, and they succeed in some places, but there's no, like, overarching story that the player follows through.
Oh, I see. So do you think that that's a good thing or a bad thing? Like, does it enhance the game more, or do you kind of want to go back to WoW and just run around and not have some big thing that you have to do?
I think it's an amazing thing, and really, I've always enjoyed, like, story-driven type games.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I definitely think it's a good thing. It's one of those things that I kind of feel that, not that I've played the entire way through, and I think time will tell whether it actually has lasting power. But yeah, I think that really all MMOs should actually take a cue from it, or at least the idea.
Bold statement. Yeah. What about you, Ryan? What do you think?
Well, I mean, I completely agree with Paul, and I'm not going to go back and repeat it. What he said about class quests makes the most sense. Like, class quests, the voice acting, it really is the thing that kind of propels you from planet to planet, you know, onwards towards your end goal of, you know, in this, you know, the difference is you, in WoW, you were going for the end game, the raids. In this, you're not only going for the end, or in SWTOR, you're not only going for the end raids, you're also going to find out what's going to happen to the world, you know, the story, right? So that's a very cool point. But I just discovered, because I'm only level 23, space battles. When I heard about it at first, I'm like, people were saying that they were kind of weird little flash games, and I didn't really know what to expect when I got in there. But the space battles are actually really cool. Now, mind you, I haven't played them to death. But I think they're a cool replacement for what's known as daily quests in WoW, where they're just, you know, quests you do every day to kind of gain experience or reputation or items. But the space battles are really cool in the sense that it's like Star Fox, but without Slippy. You know, it's not annoying. It's a lot of fun. it's like you're actually – and what they've said is they wanted to make it as if you were actually in your spaceship and you were – like you're in the movies, like you're in a space battle in the movies. And it really does feel like that. They have the music, the sound is really good, and the stuff they make you do is actually generally interesting. But, you know, when it comes right down to it, you are just shooting a bunch of targets, and it's like a timed mission. So you, every time you do a certain mission, you know it's going to be a 3-minute run. You're going to have to kill 60 random fighters and take down 4 turret guns. It's, you know, it doesn't... It's not,
so what
really
happens,
like,
if you fail? What happens if you don't do it in the amount of time, or, you know, you get 59 ships? Can you do it over again, or is it like, oh, you get one shot, and if you don't do it, then come back tomorrow?
You can do it again. Like, basically, it's as if you – I don't want to say you failed the quest, but it's basically like, all right, you didn't do it this time, so you're – like, I think it resets the quest, and you just go back in and do it. I've only failed once, so I can't really remember what – exactly happened, but I remember doing it again.
It'll give you the option.
Yeah,
like in the little pop-up thing when it says, when it would normally like give you your reward, it'll ask you, hey, do you want to restart it? And you just click on a button and say, sure, let's do it again.
Yeah, well, the cool part about space battles is really it's the best part is that it's completely different from the main quests in the game. So unlike WoW, when you're like, oh, I don't feel like questing, I'm gonna go do dailies. Well, basically what you're doing is you're stopping questing to go questing. In this, when you want to do something different, it's like, I'm going to go up to my spaceship, listen to my annoying robot, and then go and do some space battles. And it's completely different from you running around hacking on stuff. You're doing something different. That's what I think is one of the coolest parts about this game.
Sounds really interesting.
That is cool.
So the voice acting is one of the things that has really been kind of heralded as amazing. I think that we talked about it last week, I think, briefly, Ryan, with all the money. And I think they had was it like 1,000 voice actors working on this game or something? So do you notice that versus, say, a WoW or Skyrim is a little bit better, but I'm thinking like Oblivion where they had like 3 voice actors. Does it make a big difference?
Yeah, I don't notice. I don't think I've noticed a lot of repeat yet. But then again, it's not really something I'm looking for. Like, you're right. In Oblivion or Skyrim, you notice it. Mm-hmm. Like, when you've had 5 guards tell you they've taken an arrow in the knee, you start to realize, like, hey, maybe they used the same guy over and over. But that's not to say they didn't use the same people. I'm sure there are some repeats in there. And I'm pretty sure I heard Nolan North in there at some point. So look out for that. But no, I think they really spread it out well enough. And I'm sure they have repeats, like, across all the starter planets. So you wouldn't notice as much. But I haven't gotten, like I said, I'm on my second planet now, so I haven't really noticed any repeat voice actors. But all the voice acting has been pretty much spot on. I've only had one guy who sounds atrocious. and I remember because I was doing the quest, and I'm like, guys, this guy sounds awful. And I told them who it was, and it's like, oh, yeah, that guy sucks. I'm trying to remember who it was, though. I'm not going to try to remember it. It'll take too long.
All right, so companions. What are companions? Are they like the same as in Skyrim, where you just have this person who's really annoying that follows you around and has to carry your burden? Or, you know, what are the companions in Star Wars?
Well, okay, companion, it's trying to give you the feel of, like, I guess you could compare it to, like, Mass Effect or... Like, I guess the better comparison would be the original, like, you know, the Knights of the Old Republic, where it's trying to put you in a quasi party. So the idea is that these are servants that you can tell to do various quests so you don't have to. That's the whole point behind them. So they hang out, like, if you're in your ship, you'll see them hanging out there, and you can go to you'll have a little option to go into your crew window. And you can choose which kind of quest you would want them to do. And there's all kinds of stuff that you could. Most of it, at least right now, I think the most efficient way is by, like, either gathering or crafting proficiency. That kind of thing. So if you're, you know, if you are eventually going to be a crafter of, you know, really badass armor, then you want a lot of metal. That kind of thing. So... It's basically, it allows you to, it sort of frees you from doing all those sort of mundane, monotonous quests. Mm. At least that's my impression of it. And some of the, you know, the interaction between you and your companions is kind of amusing. The other thing, that you could use them for is you can have one companion with you while you're doing your own quests. So they actually, and in some areas that really does help, like, you know, it may save you from wiping when you if you get into a tough scenario or something like that.
So they do, if you take them on your quest, they'll fight for you?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Well, that, not all of them, some of them.
But, some of them just stand back and go, whoa, you're on your own, man.
The robot won't.
You joke, yeah, but that's exactly right. The robot says, literally, I can't fight.
Yeah, really? He's a weakling.
That's awesome.
One of the things about companions, is that in WoW, like, when you were, I remember being a level 400 or 375 tailorer, and if you wanted to make that epic item, you had to spend days getting the mats to do it. Like, literally out there, like, okay, I'm gonna, you know, kill a bunch of thousands of these boars so I can get my cloth of resilience. But in this game, you know, I can be out there questing for hours while I send my companions out separately to get all the mats. It may take the same amount of time, and it is still technically grinding, but it allows you to do two things at once. It allows you to play the MMO and progress your character while you're still getting those mats and making those epic items. Now, I hear the wait times get pretty crazy. I'm right now just sitting at, like, under 10 minutes for all my stuff. But it can get to up to, like, hours, I think, for some stuff. I'm not exactly sure, though.
What do you mean wait times?
Oh, well, you have a window, your crew window, basically, and you can send them on what's called missions. And they'll basically, you pick the mission, and there's a description for each mission, but it doesn't really matter. The main thing is the return result, and it'll tell you, okay, if you do this mission, you're going to get grade 2 power crystals when your guy returns. So basically, when you send that guy on a mission, he is occupied for, you know, 10 minutes while he's out doing this quest. And when he's done, a window pops up saying, you know, the quest was complete, and you have 3 red power crystals now. So that's how the crafting works. You basically, you know, assign missions to your companions, and they go do it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So then the wait time is how long it takes them to complete that task, right?
Yeah, exactly. And okay. Like I said, I'm only like 140 in one of my crafting skills, and the max wait time has been under 10 minutes. But I have heard a few people complaining like, oh, it just gets longer and longer.
Well, I guess that kind of makes sense.
Oh, it makes perfect sense. I guess complaining is the wrong word. Just more so like saying.
Mentioning angrily.
Yeah. We won't say complaining. We'll say mentioning angrily. In all caps. With an angry smiley face.
I do love the smiley faces.
Can you have an angry smiley face?
What?
Sorry, I'm just thinking to myself. Probably not the best thing to do.
So, Swick, we do a thing called Strat Chat, and so basically we just talk about, like, how we're playing a game. Mm-hmm. And so, for Star Wars, this is going to be, we've already kind of done a bit of it because I'm such a noob, but this is the Help the Noob edition, because I've never done the whole MMO thing, so I'm so lost. So, obviously, the noob is me. So
got it. All right.
We've already kind of gone through like earlier on what you're playing and how you're playing your specific character. So Ryan's a healer and you're an assassin. So how about we talk about raiding? Because I've heard a lot of WoW people and Rift people talking about raiding and everything else, but I don't really get it. So
yeah. It's kind of one of those weird things that people don't really understand until they're in it. Shoot. I don't know. Ryan, do you want to take this one? Or do you want... shall I offer my, you know...
I don't know. I guess opinions? I'll ask, have you raided in MMOs before? Like, I'm not... Again, I'm not a hardcore MMO player. I think I did some raiding back in, like, early Wrath. Okay. But in terms of, like, Star Wars... I've only done like the first 3 flashpoints, which are, I guess, like you say, like they're like mini raids, but they're like dungeons basically. When we're doing a lot of comparisons to WoW, which is weird because Jocelyn's played neither. So I guess we'll just say like, you know, dungeons is basically like a 4-party team, and then raids.
Dungeons, I get.
Okay. Now I think raid. I don't know what the max is for Tor in terms of raids.
50.
50? Oh, 50? Wow.
The
level.
Oh, that's not what we were talking about. How many raids are there? I don't know. I think 2.
Like how many people?
How many people?
Oh, I think it's 10. Oh,
I was going to say 50 people are going into one spot. That would be insane.
Well, you joke, but at one point in a while, you could have 40 people.
What?
Man, Alterac Valley, you had like 80.
Dude, yeah. It got kind of nuts, but anyway. Yeah, I did a bit of raiding in Lich King and in Cataclysm, and eventually just kind of burned out on it. We were at one point we were raiding like 3 or 4 nights a week, so that was like a part time job.
It does turn into a part time job.
It is.
Yeah, I know people. I won't mention names, but we'll go forward.
Yeah, it basically raids are where bigger groups of people can get together and go conquer a dungeon together. And you basically need all of those people in order to, you know, to complete it. And yeah, that's the general idea behind it. So it's basically a way for you and all your friends to get together and go take down a big boss.
Okay.
It's fine. I guess one important thing that you need to know about raiding is that there are still kind of 3 roles, right? So you can either be a tank, which is essentially you. It's the person who like takes all the hits, right? It's the
that
person who is
that like much fun.
it's a difficult job. It is. And the other side of that is the healer, which is responsible for keeping the party alive.
Which is what Ryan's doing right now, right?
That's me. It's hard. I end up dying more than they do. So.
You know what's funny is the general rule about the big three is that the tanks are the prima donnas, the healers are the generally complainy ones.
Oh, that fits.
Hey, I don't complain ever.
No offense. Sorry. And the DPS, which is the last set, they're the damage dealers. They're the prima donnas. They're not prima donnas. They're the showy ones. They're the ones that think that they're like the coolest thing ever.
Mean girls.
So, yeah.
Oh, mean girls.
Everything can be put into reference as a Lindsay Lohan movie. It's easy.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with that.
Think about it.
I prefer not to.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just. We can edit that out, right?
Oh no! That has to stay in.
I'm just joking.
I'm gonna reference you, dude. Like, Lindsay Lohan comparison. Go.
Don't even get me started on Herbie the Love Bug. Like that alone means so much.
Oh my god.
Wow.
I haven't seen that movie, so I don't even know what I'm.
Sure, you haven't.
Fit ball in here.
It's too late, dude. You're.
Okay. Untangent.
Yeah. Let's move back.
All right. So, rating. That's what it is. So the whole idea is that you develop strategies around those three types of things. And that's the whole point. And then you down big bosses and you get loot. That is why you do it, is for the loots.
So then is there.
Well, and for fun. Sorry.
Yeah, this is all for fun, right?
There's no such thing as fun once you hit level 50. You said it was a job. A very low-paying job.
So when you do a raid and you kill whatever you're supposed to kill and you get the loot, is there enough loot for everybody? Or is it just... So is that a no?
That is a very big no. Well, they've tried... WoW especially has tried real hard to make it worth everybody's time. Originally, this was not the case. Originally, you're talking about, you know, again, 40 people, and you have maybe 5 drops, maybe more, but 5 drops per boss. So, yeah, and not all of them. Like, just because a piece of gear drops, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's applicable to you. Right. Mm. So it could be healing gear. It could be DPS gear. It could be tanking gear. It could be for a completely different class. Like, it's just one of those things that, you know, it becomes a factor. So
then how
yeah.
do you decide who gets what then?
Oh, geez. There's all kinds.
It
people,
goes to the hunter.
Yeah. I was a hunter. Anywho. At least for a long time I was. Anywho. Yeah, dude, I could tell you, man, people have created entire systems of how people are allowed to get loot. Like seriously, like there's one thing called DKP, which is essentially a system where you kind of get a currency, a fake currency for participating in the raid. And the more you participate, the more currency you get. So whenever a piece of loot drops that you want, you have to essentially buy it with your fake currency.
Wow. So and it's like an additional currency on top of whatever gold or whatever you earn in the actual legitimate game, right? This is
right.
Like you have to keep track of two things.
But it's even better than that because it's not part of the game. Like, you know, raid leaders would have to, like, keep track of all this stuff.
Oh, my God.
It'd be an extra mod.
This kind of stuff is why MMOs have been so intimidating for me until, like, and it still really is, but now I've bought WoW, so I feel committed.
You don't
Sorry. No, it's fine. Yeah, I was just going to say, you don't need to do all that stuff. Like, that's what a lot of the crazy people do. like me. But, yeah, there's other ways to do it. Like, generally, the raid leader will decide, okay, this goes to you, blah, 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 blah. Or maybe, you know, if more than one person wants it and it's the same, then they'll just roll for it. Right. Which is essentially, I mean, do you know what that is? The whole thing is that you type in chat /roll and it'll roll a number between 1 and 100. and the highest number wins or whatever.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, see? All those little things.
Okay, so do you actually go around with a whole bunch of people all the time, or do you explore on your own and then meet up with people to do, like, raid kind of, what are they called in Star Wars, flashpoints? So are you normally on your own and then get a group of people, or are you always with a group of people? Ryan?
It really depends on what you're doing.
I feel like I'm talking too much.
No, it's fine.
Sorry, go ahead.
We're still experimenting. Like, we haven't actually had a third chair, so it's really hard to tell when people should talk. But we'll get it. You just keep interrupting me, and I'll keep interrupting you. And Jocelyn, you keep us from fighting, and we'll be all good.
All right.
All right.
I like him.
Anyways, when I play an MMO, I usually log in and just do solo quests until, like, a group presents itself. But, like, really, when I'm with a group, it's usually when I'm in a dungeon or a flashpoint, and I've done a few of them with some buddies. But the cool thing about being in a group is that, you know, the game is very focused on conversations that you have with characters. Like, when you talk to somebody, you know, you get the option to choose a response. You know, it can be, and you get three options usually, and sometimes you get the option to do something light or dark. But when you're with a group, they don't split it off. They you know, they don't have player one has the conversation A and player B has their own conversation. You have the same conversation, but you roll to take turns talking.
Okay.
But I haven't done a lot of that. And, like, Paul, have you done a lot of, like, group talking, like, group conversations?
Sure. You know, a bit, you know, more so in the beta. But, I kind of like that system. I like the idea because there are times where, sure, I would have liked to have known what I would have said. But some of the stuff that the other people say is pretty hilarious, too. So, yeah.
The worst part is that, like, if someone in your party does a light choice and I'm like, no, I'm evil. I would never, you know, spare his child. I would kill him.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. You do some evil stuff in this game.
I don't know if I'm ready to be Sith.
Just be a good Sith. You kill faster. You don't kill as many people. But
you know what I do enjoy is if you choose a dark path and somebody else chooses the light, you actually get the points for having made that choice, even though the consequences don't reflect it.
Oh,
so
really?
The points are yours. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. See, I just assumed I was getting light points because they won the role. So that's good to know. I don't have to worry about that.
So raiding and going around with other people brings me to the next thing, guilds. So do you have to be in one? Can you play completely on your own? Or, you know, do you have to find one? How do you find one? I don't know. Are either one of you in AIE?
No. I'm not in AIE. No. I
that's the one I hear about the most with all the frog pants stuff. So that's pretty much what I know.
I was in AIE for, like, when I started listening to the Frog Pan stuff, like when they were accepting people regularly, when all you had to do was basically reply someone and you'd get in. Mm. This was a long time ago. And basically I played for like a day after getting in the guild, and then I was kicked out for inactivity because I just really didn't play enough. But in this one, like in the summer, my old roommates contacted me and were like, oh, we're going to play Star Wars. Are you in? And I'm like, sure. MMO sounds good. So we created a guild in like August, and I was put onto a server in this guild right after I created a character. So the guild isn't huge; it's just friends and alts, right? So it's just kind of like a social guild rather than like a hardcore guild. So, but you don't necessarily have to be in a guild, but it helps. It basically gives you an extra chat channel to like converse with your friends, and makes it easier to party with people you know, right? So rather than having to like looking for one member for this dungeon, you can just go to your guild and say, hey, you want to come along? And basically you can fill the whole run with friends rather than you know, strangers from the general chat, which always doesn't go well.
So what about you, Sick? Are you in a guild?
Yeah, I was back in WoW. I was in a guild called the Tacos for Stormwind. Mm-hmm. And
well, that makes sense.
I know it does, doesn't it? So yeah, a bunch of us had formed a guild in Tor, and I forget what the name of it is. We just created it not too long ago. But yeah, it's essentially just a group of people that you can hang out with, and you know, sometimes it's for raiding, sometimes it's just for social purposes. It just kind of depends on what you want to get out of it. Like some guilds are just entirely devoted to raiding, so it's a way that everybody keeps track that way. Yeah, so that's the deal.
So with the raiding and playing with other people and everything else, do you have a specific kind of hardware? Like, do you have a gaming keyboard and mouse that you play with? Or, because, I mean, I have my just standard came with the computer really, really crappy HP keyboard and mouse. So am I just going to get blown away because my hardware isn't up to spec? Or, you know, am I good to go for the first little while?
You're fine. Yeah. Let's see. I don't know. Ryan, you want to take this one?
I was just going to say that, like, gaming keyboards and gaming mice are really overrated. Now, don't shoot me. I was just going to say that they are overrated to me because, like, I am not a hardcore MMO, and I have never been. But I know for a fact that some people need to have the extra macro keys on the left so they can, you know, bind every single spell to a button. But I've been fine with just the 1 through 0 and a standard right and left and scrolling mouse. That's not to say I do have a gaming keyboard, but really it's all about comfort to me. Like if you have a keyboard that you're comfortable with, you know, you should be fine, at least for the start. You might – now once you start raiding and depending on your role, like I was always DPS, so I didn't really need more than 1 through 0. But I know with healers and with a tank, you have a lot more to worry about. So you might need the macro keys. It's really about – you'll grow into it. So when you become a hardcore tank or a hardcore healer
– I'm totally going to be a hardcore tank.
You might find that you need the extra keys, right? But again, my experience in the past, you know, I can only talk so far about this. But I do know that they exist for a reason. And I mean – nothing wrong with having a nice, expensive keyboard, because the more expensive they are, the better they're built and the nicer they look.
I was going to say they look so nice and they're all backlit with different colors for different keys. And I'm like, oh, so want that.
They
probably
very
don't
pretty.
Need it, but really want it.
You're going to be on there for hours, so you might as well. Like, it's an investment, really. Like when I first got a computer, like I bought a $100 mouse, and I was like, I don't know about this, guys, a $100 mouse. But you're literally you use it every time you sit down on the computer. So why not put a little extra cash in there so you can have some features, right?
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So I think that pretty much wraps up our Star Wars talk. So, shall we move into our topic of the week?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Woot! All right, so, gaming New Year's resolutions. Swick, what are you going to do this year that's different from every other year in the past?
I'm really bad about just kind of my impulse, especially Steam purchases.
Oh, God,
and,
yeah.
And I, you know, it's one of those things where everybody says that they're really good games. And, you know, my wife she laughed at me once because I said, you know, is it really so hard that I want to play every single good game out there? And it's just not a reasonable expectation I have for myself. So I'm going to try hard to actually finish the games that I want to finish. Like, there are plenty of games that you try and, you know, you're just not into it and you leave, and that's fine. But I find myself just approaching these games and thinking they're awesome, and then I just get distracted by something else and move on, and I never finish it, and it bothers me. Like, I still haven't completed Red Dead Redemption.
Oh, no!
I know! And it's a great game, and I love it, but it's... yeah. That is mine.
What about you, Ryan?
You know, basically what Swick said. Can I call you Swick? I'll call you Swick. Mr. Swick. Well, Mr. Swick said...
Mr. Swick to you.
Mr. Swick is my father.
Swick Jr. Anyways. Basically, what Swick said is exactly what I agree with him completely. I buy a lot of games. Like, if it is remotely something I'm interested in, I'll pick it up. And I'm the worst. Like, I have games that I've literally not put into the system. I've had them for years. And they're like Halo Wars and Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. Like, they're games I want to play, but I just have not gotten around them. So my gaming New Year's resolution is to literally buy less games and just buy less games and play less games more thoroughly. Like, you know, get through it, put a little extra in there, rather than just beating the single player and moving on, you know, putting a couple hours into multiplayer and, you know, ranking up and really just, you know, playing these games more rather than, you know, okay, I'm done, let's move on to the next thing. Or worst case scenario, not even finishing it and moving on. That my pile of shame is large. Yeah.
My New Year's resolution is kind of the same. I definitely am loving going through Skyrim because I still have my like one last section of the quest to do in the main quest line, but I'm loving going through and just trying to get all the achievements. So I've decided that my New Year's resolution is to get all the achievements in whatever game I'm playing within reason. Whoa. I mean, because we've talked about it, I think last week, that the achievements that are either DLC or for like the Xbox Live, I'm not going to worry about them so much because, you know, either sometimes I don't get the DLC or I don't, you know, don't have friends playing the game. So all the stuff that's for just the actual single player game, I am going to try to get 100% of that with every game that I play.
Dude,
and the two MMOs. So yeah, should be fun.
You know, there are achievements in WoW. You know that, right?
My jaw just dropped. Like, I was just...
Yeah, I heard it. It hit the desk.
Clunk.
But no, that's true. Like, there are achievements in WoW. Good luck. I was an achievement whore when it came to WoW, and I loved getting those things. And the worst is definitely the get all the holiday ones.
Oh, my gosh.
I was so close to finishing that.
You didn't finish it?
No.
I had to wait. It was in the Halloween set of achievements, and I had waited. I don't know. When did I start? I started at like the Oktoberfest the year before. So I go through all the Halloween stuff the following year, and I did it as best I could, and I didn't get one of the achievements. So I had to wait another full year.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get it eventually?
I did get it eventually.
Okay, good.
I did.
That would have been the saddest story ever if you missed it. Yeah. Twice in a row.
Well, I kind of feel, I don't know, I feel kind of icky about that one just because as I say it, I'm like, I waited a year for an achievement.
You couldn't just
That's
set
okay,
your
we
clock.
Won't hold it against you.
Yeah.
But, you know, with achievements, we could learn from that, Swick. We could use that to play our games more thoroughly, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Have tried that in the past. Like, I'm not going for 100%. I'm not crazy like Jocelyn.
That's like the fourth time I've been called crazy in this episode.
Yeah. Well,
the title will be Jocelyn's Not Crazy.
Yeah, she doesn't have final publishing, so it will be Jocelyn Is Crazy. I'm just kidding. I'm sure I've done far worse things in this episode.
Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, don't take that out of context. It was just a joke.
Oh, man. Okay, so the holidays are over now.
Yeah.
And so what did you guys pick up over the holidays? Because I know for me, it was insane.
Yeah, Steam had some pretty awesome achievements. Awesome achievements. Dang it, I'm still on that. Awesome sales. Steam, awesome sales, as usual. It was awesome.
Yes, Steam. I'm glad December came before January because I did not
as it usually does
New Year's resolution because I bought tons of games like Steam. I religiously check those Steam sales from like 1 o'clock. Check the page on my phone. Like, if there's anything there, it's like, oh great, I'm gonna get this, this, and this, and it's gonna cost this much, and I'm saving this much. But yeah, and then Boxing Day, I picked up a few titles, but
yeah, I got almost all my games on Steam, with the exception of WoW. WoW, I picked up as a door crasher, which I got the game and the first two expansions for $20. So
nice.
Yeah,
nice.
And free shipping, so I didn't even have to go out.
Uh-oh. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was amazing. So, but on Steam, I picked up Portal 2, Orcs Must Die, Torchlight, Mass Effect, and then I had gifts sent to me, and I got Deus Ex, the Game of the Year edition, Renegade Ops, which I think that was from you, wasn't it, Zwick?
Oh, yeah.
I think it was, yeah. So thank you for that.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. And I got Bastion, yay, from Ryan, yay.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks, guys. So, yeah, I have all of those that I have to play on top of WoW and, wow. And Star Wars. And 100% Skyrim.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. I picked up Alice because I remember, Jocelyn, you were talking about this on our Game of the Year episode. I'm like, oh, it's $8. That seems like a pretty decent price for a game that came out in the summer that I didn't really get a chance to play.
So you picked that up on Steam?
Yeah, I picked it up on Steam. I played for about an hour, and it's interesting. It's pretty special in the sense that, like, it's pretty generic, but, like, the art and the setting is very cool. But I also got Hard Reset and From Dust, which were two games on Steam that I guess I missed on the PC that I kind of wanted to try, and because they're on sale, it's like no brainer, I'll pick those up. And then, you know, Need for Speed the Run, that was actually a Christmas gift for my brother, but he's not listening to this, so I picked
well,
that up on
be.
Boxing
Get
Day.
On that.
No, he doesn't know what a podcast is, it's all good. And then also Renegade Ops, so we have to do some co-op. I haven't played it yet.
It's hilarious. Like in the best it's ridiculous in the best possible way. Like it is kind of, I don't know, G.I. Joe meets A-Team meets Michael Bay meets, I don't know, Just Cause.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Well, like, I know in the intro I watched the quick look on Giant Bomb, and basically, like, in the intro, there's this big crisis, and they're like, oh, how are we going to solve this? Like, oh, we need to be diplomatic. And then the guy goes in, he rips off his pins and throws them on the table. And it's like, I'm going to solve this my way with explosions.
That's how I solve everything, with explosions.
Exactly. And the last thing I picked up was Ratchet & Clank All for One, which was a game that never got a chance to play. Didn't get as good reviews as the other Ratchet & Clank games because it's more a co-op game than anything. But I picked it up half price. Hopefully get around to it.
What about you, Swick? Anything? Any good deals this year?
I picked up, let's see, I got a gift of Battlefield 3.
Oh, nice.
Which is really sweet. That game's a lot of fun. It's more Battlefield, but there ain't nothing wrong with that. It is quite pretty. In fact, I'm planning on getting a new rig this in the next month or so. So I'm hoping that it will be able to play Battlefield in all of its glory. So yeah, I also picked up Renegade Ops and Skyrim, of course.
Yay.
Which is easily my game of the year, just saying.
Oh, guys are hanging up on me. Portal 2, I'm telling you. Hey, Kotaku agrees with me. So there.
You know, all What's I can Kotaku? Say about that is that all I can say is that if you haven't played the co-op, you don't really know if it's the game of the year.
I've played some co-op, just not online, so meh.
Okay, fine. Too. Fair enough. I also, before Star Wars came out, I played quite a bit of Dungeon Defenders, and I dug that game quite a bit. I just like the premise. Basically, like, do you all know about this game at all? Anything?
Is that the one on iOS as well? Or is that different?
It may be on iOS, I'm not sure. But no, essentially it's a combination of tower defense plus like an action RPG. basically you build all your towers up, and while you're actually, while the bad guys are actually coming at you, you actually do stuff. You actually fight them.
Oh, I think I did hear about this one. Yes, I did.
And yeah, what I love the premise, like basically you have these adult heroes that are in a castle and they vanquish evil. They put evil in this little thing and they lock it up and put it inside the castle, and then they go on vacation. So then the kids who are all in the castle accidentally break the thing and unleash evil again. So it's the kids' job to clean up before their parents get home. That is the entire thing, is you are these children of heroes and you are trying to vanquish evil again.
Nice.
Yeah, I dug that. It was a lot of fun.
So I think my best deal of the holidays was I picked up Mass Effect and Torchlight for only $8.73 together.
Nice.
Which awesome. I was debating whether WoW was the better deal, but then I was like, yeah, you know what? I have to pay for that month to month. I have Mass Effect and Torchlight for under $10, free and clear.
Had you gotten into the Mass Effect at all?
I haven't played the first one. I've played through the second one.
Okay.
So I thought that I might as well pick this one up for cheap. And so I've got two on the Xbox. So I've got one on the PC now. So then I figured if I played through one, or if I played through Mass Effect 2 on the Xbox and I played through Mass Effect 1 on the PC, then I could figure out where I wanted to get 3. So that was my thinking.
Sweet.
I thought you were going to get it for the story. So then you'd have like two more books to read before March. So you better get on that.
Man, oh man, I'm so screwed.
But like, yeah, Mass Effect, the first one, it's really tough going back to that one after the second one, because it is not, it's the second one's got a lot more polish on it, but I enjoyed it. I played the hell of it through a summer and loved every minute of it, especially the conversations you have with the characters. But the best deal I picked up was hard reset and From Dust. I wanted to play those in the summer, but never got around to it for, you know, probably a long story. But anyways, got Hard Reset and From Dust for $10, and that was a no-brainer for me. It was in my cart and my credit card, charged my credit card before I could say no. seems to be how Steam is working lately.
My deal was Skyrim. I think it was the last day of the Christmas sale. It was like $40.
I couldn't believe that.
It's
like
a brand
it only
new
just
game.
Came. Yeah, it's a month and a half old, and it's like $20 off. What?
Yes, please. I want that one.
Sign me up.
Like Batman was like half price, right? It was like $25, and it came out around the same time.
Yeah, it was. It was a few weeks before Skyrim, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, they had some insane sales this year.
God bless you, Steam.
I love
we
Steam.
You.
Dude, I could tell you stories about that, too. Remind me, I'll tell you guys about the inception. Like, I worked for Vivendi Universal for a while when Steam was being created, and they still own Valve. Ooh. Yeah, that was a lot of drama behind that one.
Oh, wow.
Off-air drama. I'm excited.
But I can't say it on air, so sorry, right. Everyone.
That's really cool. I get to hear it. The other guys, everybody else doesn't. That's cool. Unless I'm not invited, which is... that's.
Yeah, we're totally going to kick you out.
He calls me Swick. I suppose that's fine.
Okay, so let's move on to our listener feedback, which we actually have a lot of this week. I'm so excited. Nice. First of all, I'm going to mention that we are new and noteworthy as of a couple of hours ago in the Canadian iTunes store.
Bravo. Yay. Golf clap.
I'm so excited about that.
Canadian
I mean,
golf clap. I don't know if that sounds any different.
I can't even hear you clapping.
Is that the point? I don't know.
I'm trying to find a couple beaver tails to slap together. Where are my boys at? Come on.
Oh, man. But yeah, so us being new and noteworthy is like, it's 11:30 at night. I'm exhausted, but I'm so excited and pumped about our podcast right now. So it's kept me going. So that has to do with a lot of our iTunes reviews. So we actually have 5 five-star ratings in the Canadian store.
and one in the US and one from France. So I'm going to go through and give our first reviews from the iTunes store. So we got A Quandary by Underscore Funk, and he says, if I had to choose between listening to The Gamers Inn or having mad cow disease, I would definitely choose The Gamers Inn, and you should too.
Nice.
So thanks for that. Good to know that we're preferable to mad cow disease.
We're the cure, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Excellent. So from the U.S., we got one called Great Show! Exclamation mark by Busy Zombie Lord, who you guys probably know. Actually, all of these are friends on Twitter. So he says, funny, informative, and down to earth. Keep up the great work. Can't wait for more. We're going to keep them coming. And then we got one from France that says, awesome first episode. And this is from Gregory, who is I Am French Boy. And he says, it's like two friends talking about games like we do with ours. Intimate with good games choices. Keep up the good work. Your friend, I Am French Boy. And he also sent us some feedback on Twitter. And he said that we should play WoW and talk about our experiences there because he thinks that it would be of particular interest to new players. So I hope that our Star Wars / MMO / WoW chat today with the help of Swick has hit some of the points for new players. I know it helped me out a lot. So after I install and start playing WoW, we're probably going to talk about it even more. But yeah, that'll probably be a few shows from now. So, and we also got a comment on our Facebook page from Mike. And he says that as long as Ryan keeps making fun of me, then he'll keep listening.
But, you know, that being said, I say a lot of stupid stuff. Jocelyn's going to have plenty of chances to fire him right back at me.
Yeah,
I wouldn't worry about it. Yeah, she's just saving it up. We're going to have an episode where she's just grilling me the entire time. So, yeah.
So probably. We also got an email.
Ryan. Yes, we got an email from Busy Zombie Lord. He says, hi, Jocelyn and Ryan. He didn't say hi, guest, but we'll add that in there. Hi, Jocelyn and Ryan, and special guest, Swick. I loved your rundown of your nominations for Game of the Year. 2011 has really been an outstanding year for gaming. I was curious, though, what games you really liked but didn't make into your nominations. Personally, I loved Catherine. It was a very unique take on the puzzle and adventure game genre. Unfortunately, its marketing and art style drove many away. Also, a really lesser-known title called Majin and Forgotten Kingdom was really creative, too. It was reminiscent of Prince of Persia with an Ico / Shadows of the Colossus vibe. While not being a AAA title, it was still really interesting as a budget game. Love the show. Keep up the good work. That's interesting because I know Jocelyn's mentioned that in our Game of the Year when we were prepping that most of the games we talked about were games that she had played. There wasn't really anything left over. Whereas my list, I had to cut down a few titles. Catherine was one of them. I played through that one twice, and I think the main reason was it was just completely different from anything I've ever played before. And I don't play a lot of JRPGs, so maybe if you guys had played a lot of JRPGs, you would think it's kind of similar. But no, just the stuff they tackle in that game and, you know, the subject matter and the anime cutscenes, it's different from anything I've ever played before, and I really enjoyed it. Didn't have much replay value, so once I played through it twice, it kind of got sent to the shelf. But there were a lot of great games that came out last year, and Catherine barely just got, you know, shooed away. Because basically, Jocelyn, you never played it, so.
No, I didn't actually get a chance to play it, so.
It would just be another game that I'd be bringing up and talking about myself. A couple others, shooters, Space Marine and Bulletstorm. I enjoyed both, but again, like, they were both games where I just powered through and moved on. So they were great games, but they didn't really warrant any mention because it would basically say, like, oh, this is a shooter. I played through it. It's got a good single player. On to the next.
Now, Paul, you played Bulletstorm, right? So what did you think of that one?
It was it's definitely a good shooter. I don't know that I'd put it in the top games of the year. But it's definitely a lot of fun. I like the whole idea of, you know, killing people in interesting ways. But
in games, right? In games.
In games, right. I should clarify that. My bad. Yeah, they had a... Oh, geez. The thing is it's so... The thing is about Bulletstorm, it's so extreme that it kind of drags you down to the level it's at. And things start to make sense at that point. For example, at one point you control this giant dinosaur with like lasers and rockets on its head and stuff.
Awesome.
So yeah.
The leash was the coolest part about that game, where you could use your whip to pull people towards you, and you could kick. So you could, and the whole point of the game, and again, just talking about it makes me remember how it was a unique game as well, because it was like. Shooting or killing with style. So if you killed a guy a different way, you'd get more points. So what you'd do is you could come in, you'd leash the guy, pull him towards you, kick him away, grab his buddy, shoot his head off, then use this firecracker gun to shoot a firecracker into the guy who's in the air. He explodes into bits all over the place. And just points raining down all over. And there was these cool parts where you could do something specific. So early on, there's this elevator shaft, and you see these 20 guys running down it. So what do? You run right up to this button on this giant pedestal. Obviously, the game designers want you to push it because it's in the middle of the room, and it's push me. So you push it, and then the elevator comes down on these guys, and you see the elevator just crush these 20 guys. And no, the game really rewarded your creativity in how you killed people. And it was really salty too. The language, for the kiddies.
Mm. Yeah, there was a lot of F-bombs in that one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and just worse. I almost put it jackass style swearing. You know, it's not you're straight up gangster swearing, but it's lewd, crude, and it's they're teenagers who learn to swear for the first time. You know, they're just using it for everything.
That's actually pretty good. Yeah. That's a pretty good comparison. I like that. Just because it's they'll mash two curse words together that don't normally belong together and just generally use it in conversation.
Yeah. As if nothing had happened.
Yeah.
All right. So if you guys want your feedback read on the show, then you can email us at info@thegamersinpodcast.com. You can visit us on the web at www.gamersinpodcast.com, or you can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show as well. We are at The Gamers Inn. So thank you so much, Swick, for joining us. We really appreciate you filling us in on your Star Wars experience, since I haven't had a chance to play yet. So is there anything that you'd like to plug?
Sure. I think.
Don't be modest.
thank you so much to you both. It's awesome hanging out with you guys. I'm on App Slappy. I'm not on it, but I do a lot of their articles, and I'm hoping that one day Scott will actually put me on there, but hey, that's just me.
I'm also appeal to Scott Johnson, who may or may not ever listen to this.
He's a busy man. I understand. It's fine. I'm on the Time Traveling Robots in Space, and I'm also working on a sort of my own special project that should be out pretty quick. Actually, I'm on a show called An Hour of Sleep. And,
I think I just followed you on Google Plus, or circled. Oh, yeah? Sorry, circled An Hour of Sleep on Google Plus.
Yeah, so that's a lot of fun, and we're pretty close to done. We have the freaking longest beta ever. I think, seriously, we're on episode 26.
Oh, really?
We have not released a single one. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's my fault. It really is. But it'll be out very soon.
Well, so, definitely looking forward to actually hearing one of those.
I can send it to people who ask me individually. I have no problem encoding it and sending it. It's just not live.
Okay. Well, thanks again for joining us. It was a real pleasure.
to you guys too. Thank you.
So before we go, I just wanted to give a quick shout out again and thank you to my brother Greg, who did our music, and you can find him on Twitter at Sounds Influence. We'd also like to thank Joel Duggan of Starcrossed Online, who did our Twitter avatars. You can find him on Twitter at Joel Duggan or read his comic at starcrossedonline.com. So thank you very much for staying at the Gamers Inn. Check back in next week when we'll be discussing more Star Wars, and maybe I will have actually played this time. And we'll also be talking about all the games we picked up over the holidays and will actually be playing for next week, hopefully, maybe, fingers crossed.
Yeah, indeed. Now, Jocelyn, Paul, who I've come to know as Swick over the last hour or so, I just want to remind us that before we go, I just want to say that all guests must remove their red sights before they come into the door. You're blinding the noobs. Good night.
Are you ready?
You're waiting for me to say something, aren't you?
Yeah.
And interrupt you. I'm not, I promise. Whenever you're ready.
Bye. Yay. Bye. You're blinding the news. Nice.